Since we take our lights, our TVs, and our toasters for granted so often, let's kick off with the serious problems our fellow Americans are facing in Puerto Rico. Along with a deficit of clean water and trying to stay healthy in terrible hygienic conditions, it's the lack of electricity that's keeping all sorts of progress from happening on the island and has been for some time, says David Ferris.
Most of the power plants in Puerto Rico are more than 40 years old and were on their last legs before this storm hit. And so in order to restore power, even in San Juan, the capital, the power plants in that city are so weak that they can't do much of the repowering on their own.
Ferris is a reporter with the energy industry publication E&E News, and he was in Puerto Rico earlier this month. He's been telling us today about mutual aid agreements between utility companies in the U.S. When Florida had its blackout during Hurricane Irma, the local utility turned to another company in another state to help Floridians get back online. But Ferris says that PREPA, the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority, didn't do that, and instead turned to a small energy company in Montana.
The head of PREPA, Ricardo Ramos, told me that he didn't want to turn to mutual aid agreements because PREPA couldn't afford it. The utility is $8 billion in debt. He said that it only had $100 million in emergency cash remaining, and those mutual aid agreements require repayment, and the money he had on hand would only support his operations for 2 months.
Yeah, so fiscal concerns, but is that unusual?
Highly unusual. I mean, the interesting thing is that Ramos and PREPA were in regular contact with the American Public Power Association. It's the Association for Municipal Utilities in the United States. He was in regular touch with them as Hurricane Irma came through and hit Puerto Rico earlier. And then he kind of went dark after Maria hit. He's claimed that he didn't get in touch with the mutual aid agencies because he actually couldn't make a phone call, even though he did place a phone call, for example, with Anderson Cooper of CNN immediately after the storm. And so did, as you said, instead turn to Whitefish, which is a company that until this all started had two employees, and it hired them for what's turned out to be $300 million to basically rebuild a major spine of the transmission system that will connect the southern part of the island where most of the power plants are to the northern part of the island in the area of San Juan where the capital is and where most of the power users are.
What do we know about Whitefish Energy, this contracting company in Montana? You said they've got two employees. What else do you know about them?
Whitefish's model, they say, is to be very small and light and to hire the crews they need to do what they need to do. It seems that they basically made an offer to PREPA saying, hey, we're here. We're available to do the work right before Maria hit. And they decided to hire them to do $300 million worth of work. And it seems that one of the prerequisites for that was that they didn't require any money up front. So you have a small, untested power company going in to help a desperate, bankrupt utility. And we simply don't know what that's going to look like or how long it's going to take.
Well, Whitefish Energy is also based in the hometown of Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. Does this seem like a normal choice?
It's definitely not a normal choice. I don't know how much attention to pay or how much credence to put to the connection between Zinke and Whitefish Energy and the fact that they're from the same place. I mean, it's a suspect deal kind of regardless of where this company is coming from, but it's also from the Interior Secretary's very small hometown in Montana is really curious. There's starting to be some rumors, reports suggested in the Washington Post today, for example, that Congress is starting to look into these relationships.
So how do you see the work that Whitefish Energy and the Army Corps of Engineers are doing right now? Is it a short-term solution? If returning the Puerto Rican grid to its former state, does that kind of eclipse other projects like Tesla's proposal to create an entirely new kind of power grid?
Well, Donald Trump met with the governor of Puerto Rico last week, and he said that the U.S. is all in on rebuilding and improving the grid in Puerto Rico. I don't know whether that is in fact what's going to happen or whether that was just how he felt that day. But in order for that grid to be rebuilt in a new, cleaner, more robust and resilient way, it's going to require Congress. The way that the laws are set up and the way that the authority is granted to, for example, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they actually have to rebuild it in exactly the way it stood before the storm came through. So Congress is going to have to pass some laws to make it better than it is now.
David Ferris, a reporter with E&E News, that's Environment and Energy. Thanks very much, David.
Thanks, Marco.